prayers is that this will be a teaching moment today, Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this place, Lord. We pray this morning, Father, that you would fill this place, just like when the temple was brought about and your robe filled down right down the aisles, Father. So we pray that you invade this place, Lord. We pray that your spirit moves in a mighty way. We honor you today with our worship. We honor you today with our prayers. We honor you today with our lives, Father. And I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a guy named Mark Haley shared a verse in our community group today that really ministered to me from 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. That's the way I want to live, man, that my heart would be blameless toward him. We're currently working through a series of messages with the theme being replenish. How do we replenish our faith? And last week we talked about James when he wrote to encourage believers to endure, to be faithful. We dug into James 1, 2 through 12 last week as we did in our community groups this morning. And he gave us four essential things for us to remember for how to endure and how to have victory through trials. And those four things last week was count, have a joyful attitude, know, have an understanding mind, let, have a surrendered will, and four, ask with a believing heart. So this week, which is part four of our series, you'll see from the title in the front of your listening guide, Lessons Learned from Lice and Thorns. And I want you to realize that suffering brings opportunities for us to point to Jesus. This sermon outline really is based primarily on how a statement that Jesus made concerning Paul's new life was fulfilled and how Paul's suffering was used to witness for Christ. And our trials, and you may be in here today going through a trial, they're key times for us, for those around to see how we respond, how we see our faith, you know, our faith shining from Christ through us in these difficult times. In your listening, God, I put, as we endure with humble dependence on God, we can point others to Christ who sustain us even through our most difficult times. I thought about Acts chapter 9. We get this amazing little vignette in the life of the early church, because shortly after the Apostle Paul's conversion, Jesus spoke to this guy named Ananias in a vision, and he told Ananias to disciple Paul. And Ananias, he really barked at that assignment. If you look at Acts 9, verses 13 and 14, he says, but Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard about from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. So in other words, I think Ananias was scared. He was scared to do what Jesus was telling him to do. But Jesus reassured Ananias by saying this, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles, to carry my name before the kings and the children of Israel. And think about that statement that Jesus shared with Ananias. Have you been called to carry his name before your friends? Have you been called to carry his name before your neighbors or your work associates, as well as others whom the Lord has brought into your path? And then in verse 16, Jesus throws in one more detail. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Beautiful. I love that picture of Ananias taking the scales off of Paul's eyes. And he does that with us. God revealed just how true this statement would be over time. In fact, perhaps the statement that describes Paul's life was made close to the end of his life as he described to the church at Philippi, God uses suffering in his life for his purposes. Look at verse 12 of Philippians 1. I want you to know, brothers, that whatever has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel.
So Paul was able to realize that his sufferings were tools that God would use to open the doors for the gospel that could have not been opened otherwise. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "Christians naturally think more often of what the world has inflicted on the saints." Think about it. We talk about it all the time. We talk about that all the time. But the saints also inflict much upon the world. That's our job, to inflict much upon the world, to bring the gospel to the world. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Mixed with the cry of the martyrs and the cry of nature, wounded by grace also ascends and presumably to heaven. That cry has indeed been legitimized by all believers by the words of the Virgin Mary herself when she said this, 'When she saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee souring.'" So the question for us today is, how can our sufferings provide opportunities to share Christ with others? I got three main points today from three different chapters in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's ironic that's what the women are going to do starting in September, 2 Corinthians. So I'm in that today. First point, suffering encourages humility. Very important. Paul said this, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of revelation, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Anybody ever had those thorns given to you? Anybody have things coming to you? And Paul said, to keep me from becoming conceited. And you're listening, God, I put, God occasionally removes things that we cling to most, lest we become dependent on them, on those things. Nothing promotes humility like needing someone else to help us. When we acknowledge our total dependence on God and others, notice such genuine humility, and we are pointing to Christ. There was a guy named Hudson Taylor, one of the greatest Christian missionaries you ever want to lead. Read about a great life. Read about Hudson Taylor. He was probably one of the greatest Christian missionaries since Paul himself. He was scheduled to speak, I read, at a large church in Melbourne, Australia. And the moderator of the service introduced the missionary in such eloquent and glowing terms. He told that large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China and then presented him as our illustrious guest. And Hudson Taylor stood quietly for a moment. And then he opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I'm the little servant of an illustrious master." Hudson Taylor illustrated a principle that we should take heart in this generation, that the greater our introduction, the more humble we ought to be. As followers of Christ, none of us are anything apart from Christ empowering us. Let's read that because that's so true. Let's read it together. As followers of Christ, none of us are anything apart from Christ empowering us. And sometimes when we have a hard time learning that lesson on our own, Jesus will use suffering and adversity in our lives to help us learn it. I also looked up, what would C.S. Lewis write about when it came to humility? I love this, man. He said, "May God's grace give you the necessary humility. Try not to think, much less speak of their sins. One's own are a much more profitable theme. And if on consideration one can find no faults with one's own side, then cry for mercy. For this must be a most dangerous delusion." Isn't that such well said? I love C.S. Lewis. So the first point was suffering encourages humility. The second point is suffering enables dependence. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened," Paul writes, "beyond our strength, that we were despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Paul writes, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that He will deliver us again. So when you're listening, God, I put, after God removes the things, removes the people we depend on the most, He shows us that only He can be depend upon. Here's another lady I read about. I'm sure you've heard of her, Corrie Ten Boom. Her incredible testimony of trust in God while a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. It still stands, her story, her life, as an inspiring testimony of faith through suffering. And this is when the lice comes in of the message. God removed everything she depended upon. Her family, her dignity, her clothing, respect, etc. In her own testimony, Corrie Ten Boom revealed that she and the other prisoners learned to depend on and to be thankful for the lice in their barracks. Think about it. The guards would not come into the prison quarters because of the lice. Therefore, the prisoners found solace and deliverance from their cruel treatment and even held Bible studies in the privacy of their life-infested barracks. Think about it. Let's be honest. Maybe you may need to do some soul searching here, because I have a couple questions for you. Are there lessons that you've learned in a life that could only have learned through suffering? Are there lessons that you've learned in your life about humility? Are there lessons in your life learned about how we need to depend upon the Lord? Maybe tough lessons. And to be sure, what a blessing that God loves us enough to teach them to us. So we should always take a moment to thank God for the lessons we never would have learned without suffering. Think about it. Think about your life. Just like a sculptor would take marble and chip away at it in order to bring out that piece of slab and image, God chips away at the things that are not like Christ through the act of chiseling us with trouble. He calls it the testing of your faith. So the first point is suffering encourages humility. The second point, suffering enables dependence. And the third point is suffering enhances our witness. That's the most important part. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. And there's many times when I read Scripture and I think, why? Why would it say that? Always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus. And He gives us the answer. So that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. That's the answer. For we who are live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So something worth suffering and dying for is worth hearing about. When we suffer with humility and dependence upon God, others notice and realize that it's not natural, and they become interested in it. So we have an opportunity to reveal them how God sustains and provides us through trials, and that He's worthy for our trust and devotion. I feel like saying, let's face it, trials are going to come. If you're spiritual, trials are going to come. If you're carnal, trials are going to come. If you're Christian at all, trials are going to come. That's just how it works. And whether or not you're spiritual or cardinal determines what trials you will get. Your spiritual maturity determines whether you experience victory or defeat when trials come. And the enemy wants nothing else but you to be defeated in your trials. The enemy wants nothing else from you to take yourself away from fellowship from the Lord when you come into trials. It's almost like He allows them to happen to see how really serious you are about your relationship with God. Because we can all talk the talk and, you know, when things are going good. But when trials happen, that's when it's important to be faithful. That's important to be steadfast. Your spiritual maturity determines whether you experience victory or defeat when trials come along. When your friends go through trials, come alongside of them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Be alongside of them, because the enemy would want nothing else but them to disperse. Here's a testimony from a pastor. His name is Michael Stover. He's a graduate from Union University in Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Oh, seminary, praise God. I am thankful. I slid that one in good. I am thankful and proud to be a cancer survivor, he wrote. In 2005, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at the age of 35. After 10 months of excruciating chemotherapy and radiation treatments, I was pronounced cancer-free in 2006. That 10-month period was one of the most difficult times of my life, the pastor wrote. My wife and children and I were many hours away from any family and were basically suffering alone. And yet that period of suffering has opened numerous doors for me to share Christ with hurting people. I'm praying that today we're going to walk out of here and God is going to bring hurting people in your path. And He's going to use the suffering that you have gone through, the things that you have long gone through in your trials, to help encourage them. He said our testimony to clinging to God by faith and how He provided all that we needed has pointed many seekers to Christ. Are you going through an extended period of suffering right now? Are you being persecuted because of your faith in Christ? Have you considered how your humble dependence on God through this trial can be a beacon of light, drawing others out of darkness to Christ? I thought of another lady that Kathy and I got to hear speak in Florida few years back, Joni Erickson Tata. She hit her head when she drove into a lake and became paralyzed when she dove. And now she has a worldwide ministry for people who are challenged physically. If you ever get to hear her speak, she's powerful. Today, Joni would tell you she wouldn't trade her experience for anything. She hasn't walked for a long time, but millions of people who are hurting physically are encouraged by the hope that she gives because of the suffering that she has. I will tell you boldly to tell your story of total dependence on God and those around you. Like the Apostle Paul, your suffering may be caused or allowed for the purpose of furthering the gospel message for where you are. This morning in my prayer time, I want to close with this. The ushers want to get ready to come down. I thought about Paul's testimony to coincide with this message today. And it can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. He says, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Isn't that what we're looking for? Faithfulness. Isn't that what you want to teach your children? Faithfulness. Even through trials and through suffering, and he's looking for faithful people. He says, He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly, and now Paul gives his testimony, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I have acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed with me. And the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So you see, he was depending upon God because he says, I thank Him who given me strength. Now he goes on in verse 15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save the sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's Paul, who the Lord used to write at least 13 books of the Bible. And he's sharing his humility by saying, I'm the foremost sinner of the world. So that's his humility. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe on Him in eternal life. So that's the Lord, enhancing the witness of Paul for those who believe on. And he says in verse 17, to the King of the ages, immortal, invincible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Ushers, you want to come forward. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to have a teaching moment, Father. A teaching moment where we can look at the life of Paul and look at people that you have used through the generations, even in this generation, Father, to take the things that we've learned through suffering, through trials, because you want to use us as a witness for you, Father. We want other people to come and ask us, why have you been faithful through this trial? Why have you done your best to seek him first in every situation? So, Father, I thank you for this teaching moment and this honor I get to share your word today. Father, I lift up this offering to you. Father, we bow at your feet, Father, and we give an offering because we love you, Lord. We give a portion of what you have blessed us with for your glory, Father. And Lord, I pray that you take this offering, that we would use it for your glory, Father. Father, I pray that this offering will bless those who give in a mighty way, Lord, that they can look back and see, wow, I was faithful in giving. God, you blessed me in this way because of that, Father. Help us to be faithful givers. Help us to be faithful servants. Help us to be faithful and acknowledge you in all we do, Father. Paul told the church at Colossae that whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.